In other news,
CM Punk is getting mauled. And this is what happens when
get out of trouble.
Mickey's gotten flattened out here. Punk's in deep trouble. He might
defend himself.
Man, he took some heavy shots there. Heavy shots.
And more here.
But he's going through it again. I think that's it.
It is all over. Mickey Gall submits CM Punk. Just like that.
Are you going to consider that his next fight would still be in the UFC? Is that an option?
He probably shouldn't have his next fight in the UFC.
You are listening to the Gerwick Report podcast.
A podcast that tells it like it is.
With Steve Gerwick.
Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.
Frank D.
Fabulous. Frankie Frankster D. Up in this bitch right now.
And Gerwick.net Hall of Famer Theodore R. Long.
Holla, 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 players.
It is Tuesday, September the 13th, 2016. I am Steve Gerwick of www.gerwick.net. Gerwick.net is your source for all your pro wrestling news. Definitely check out the newly redesigned Gerwick.net, and it is episode 149 of the podcast that tells it like it is. We're back from a week break, but we got a lot of topics to discuss today. But real quickly, let me tag in my longtime tag team partner, Frank D.
Hey, what's up, Steve? It's the magnificent one right here, if you will.
And also returning to our podcast, the one and only, he is a SmackDown general manager, ECW general manager, manager of legends, referee, and a Gerwick.net Hall of Famer. And we keep pushing. Maybe next year he'll be in the WWE Hall of Fame. The one, the only, Teddy Long. How you doing today, sir?
Hey, I appreciate that play. I'm doing very good, Steve Areno. Let me give a big shout out over there to my main man, the Frankster. Hope you're doing well, player.
I'm doing good, Teddy. You know what I'm saying? Real recognized, real player.
All right. Hey, you got that right. And hey, guys, I'm just glad to be back on. We missed last week, but we are ready to go this week. Holla, players.
Yeah, recharge the battery back with a loaded show today. But real quickly, let me mention that all previous editions of the GRP are available at the archive section at Gerwick.net. You can also download our podcast through iTunes or just stream us. Stream our show through TuneIn Radio or Stitcher Radio as well. And ProWrestlingTees.com/Gerwick if you'd like a Gerwick.net or a GRP t-shirt. And Frank, what's going on with the YouTube channel?
Hey, man, YouTube channel is copacetic. Check it out right now, YouTube.com/Gerwick.net. My man Adley Green did a review of the CM Punk fight versus Mickey Gall from UFC 203 and also did a review of Backlash, both of those right now at YouTube.com/GerwickNet. Also, check out the Booker T interview, which we just released the other day, to the masses on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. So check it out right now at Gerwick.net.
And as we said, we took last week off, but Teddy Long this weekend. A busy weekend for you. I know you were with Wildcat Sports again, another great show. And
I had a great weekend. So happy to be a part of Wildcat Sports. We went down in New Orleans to tape the first TV show, which will air September 24th on WUPL Channel 50 there in New Orleans. I had a sold-out crowd there at the high school gym where we were. Had a lot of great matches. Stevie Richards was on hand. Hardcore Bob Holly was there. Great crowd, man, and you know, great atmosphere, a lot of energy. So I think this thing is really going to be, you know, really going to be big, and it's going to work out good for my man Luke Hawk, who owns the operation.
Yeah, I saw your picture there with Hardcore Holly. How's he doing these days?
He's doing great, man. Had a chance to talk to Bob. You know, I worked with him back in the day in WWE, and you know, always a great friend of Bob. I liked him because he always stood up for himself. You know, didn't take no mess off anybody, but Bob is in good health, he told me, and he's living way out in Iowa now, but he still looks great, and he's still training, and he's still doing okay.
Good to hear, and we'll talk about your upcoming schedule at the end of the podcast as well. A chance to check out Teddy Long, and of course, Teddy Long is at TeddyPlayAlong on Twitter, and definitely check out his website at TeddyLong.com. Over the weekend was the Backlash pay-per-view. It was AJ Styles challenging Dean Ambrose for the WWE Championship. A lot of speculation was, were they going to finally give the championship to AJ Styles? But, you know, something interesting, Frank, and I think I saw it on our Facebook group, AJ Styles is what, the fourth or fifth quickest man to enter WWE to get the WWE Championship?
Yeah, I did see that, yeah.
I didn't realize that as well. I didn't realize that Bray Wyatt is actually 2-20 on pay-per-view. We talked about somebody being buried, Frank. I would say 2-20 would probably qualify as being buried.
Yeah, for the life of me, I can't understand the point of having Bray Wyatt lose to Kane. Even though he got the assist from Randy Orton, Randy Orton comes in and hits Bray with an RKO, still, why are you having Kane go over Bray Wyatt? This is the reason why a lot of people, including myself, we can't really get behind Bray Wyatt and take Bray Wyatt seriously, because he talks, and then gets his ass handed to him in the end. He never really comes back from any of this stuff. So I'm not really feeling the way it happened, but nonetheless it happened. So there you go.
You know, Ted, I'm going to ask you about the AJ Styles, winning the championship. But real quickly, did you realize that Bray Wyatt is actually 2-20 on pay-per-view?
No, I never really paid that any attention. You know, I like Bray Wyatt, and I myself feel that there are a lot of things that they can do with him. You know, I'm like Frank. I really just don't understand the way that they're going with him. I really don't.
And of course, as we said, AJ Styles actually went into Backlash. I saw the odds makers were making AJ Styles the favorite, which isn't always the way they book things. But AJ Styles did go over and beat Dean Ambrose for the championship. And now I would assume here, Teddy, now that he beat Ambrose, the first thing to do would probably give him a rematch against Ambrose. But he still has the upcoming feud, I think, eventually with John Cena. He still has his headband and everything. And they definitely were playing that up at Backlash, that he's stealing his catchphrases and everything. So I think eventually you're going to see AJ Styles versus John Cena again. But, you know, we were speculating before the podcast is maybe at some point they make AJ Styles the face of the promotion and turn him babyface.
First of all, let me say congratulations to AJ Styles, a well-deserving, I'm glad to see them put the title on him. That's a great move that the WWE made. I mean, that's one right thing that they've done. I really think that somewhere down the line that they will turn AJ babyface and make him the spokesman for the company. The guy looks good. He's a great athlete. He's a great performer in the ring, and he has a great attitude. You got to have somebody to replace John Cena. You know, I don't see John Cena, really hanging around much now. I think he's about ready to retire and venture out into some other things. So I think that AJ Styles would be the perfect guy to represent the company. I like Dean Ambrose, good guy, great guy, but he just wasn't the man to be holding the title, and I think they made a good move by taking it off of him.
You know what? I'm going to say it like this. The wrestling gods have finally spoken, because now the Phenomenal One is the WWE World Champion. I thought the match was great. I thought it was a really good match. I was never really sold. I gave him a chance, but I was never really sold on Dean Ambrose as the guy, as the dude, as the WWE champion. So I'm glad AJ Styles got the win. We can see where they go with this. But obviously, Dean Ambrose is going to get his rematch, and that's probably going to happen either tonight on SmackDown or maybe at No Mercy. I would think it would be at No Mercy, make some money off of it. But nonetheless, AJ Styles is well-deserving, Steve. I mean, the guy, I've been following his career since he was in WCW tag-teaming with Air Paris back in the day. And moving on to TNA, he's a TNA NWA champion, a TNA world champion. The guy's credentials just, there is nobody like AJ Styles. So I'm happy that AJ Styles has finally gotten the WWE championship, and his career now has come full circle. Crazy, crazy stuff. I couldn't believe it the other night, because I was like everybody else. I thought that basically they were going to just keep the belt on Ambrose. But I was happy to see that WWE finally listened to the fans, and they gave us what we wanted, and gave AJ Styles a chance in becoming a WWE champion. So I think pretty much anybody out there who said AJ Styles was getting buried or they'll never put the belt on him because he's a TNA guy, yeah, you got proved wrong the other night.
And you were talking about the NWA TNA stuff. I was thinking back to, wasn't it when they first started doing those Wednesday night pay-per-views? He was in a tag with Jerry Lynn?
He was in a tag with Jerry Lynn, but he was also the first ever TNA X Division champion. So, I mean, AJ Styles done. I mean, IWGP champion, former ROH Pure champion. The guy's done it all.
And, of course, as you said, Atlee Green reviewed Backlash. We're not going to get into the match-by-match result. I definitely encourage people to check out that at Gerwick.net or on our YouTube channel and you can listen to Atlee's breakdown of the pay-per-view. You know, Frank, let's just give a general grade. What did you think of the show overall? Did it blow you away? Did it put you to sleep? I think a lot of people were very disappointed going in. There was the breaking story on Sunday going into the pay-per-view was that Randy Orton was not going to be medically cleared to wrestle Bray Wyatt. Thus the reason Frank was talking earlier about Bray Wyatt against Kane, that's why that match happened on the pay-per-view, because Randy Orton was not cleared to wrestle. They had the finals for the tag team championship. I was a little surprised the Usos didn't go over, but I don't know, Frank. Quickly, overall, what would you think of the show? What kind of grade would you give Backlash on Sunday?
I mean, you know something, honestly, the women's match was kind of a little clunky in certain spots, but I was happy that Becky Lynch finally got her to come up as a, you know, Becky Lynch didn't make a fine women's champion for the SmackDown brand, so I was happy to see the outcome of that. I thought The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler, the match was kind of just there. I mean, they follow up The Miz with Dolph Ziggler. And you take Dolph Ziggler, who was in the ring with, you know, Dean Ambrose at SummerSlam, and now he's relegated back to the IFC Championship with obviously no plan in sight for Dolph Ziggler. So that was all bad there.
And let me interrupt you real quick, Frank,
yeah.
Because for a couple of weeks there, The Miz had some heat with that internet promo or on the WWE Network, and now he's just The Miz again, right?
Well, I mean, he cut a promo on Bryan at Backlash where he says, I'm going to go out there and do what you can't do anymore. So, I mean, they're continuing something here with the two, but yeah, the heat is definitely kind of scaled back a little bit for The Miz. The Usos, of course, last Tuesday, not on SmackDown, turned heel when they attacked American Alpha after the match. So the Usos came out at Backlash with a whole new look and a lot more aggressive attitude, really taking it back to when they first came into the company, just, you know, keeping it real. They didn't call it a heel turn, Steve. They called it a real turn, is what the Usos did. So, which I thought that was kind of clever. But they went on to defeat the Hype Bros. I just can't get into the Hype Bros myself. I think the Hype Bros are whack. So they went on to beat them, and then they fought Rhino and Heath Slater in the finals for the Tag Team Championships, and Heath Slater and Rhino won the belts. So Heath Slater now gets his contract with SmackDown. I guess he's going to sign that tonight when they do the show. And, of course, AJ Styles versus Dean Ambrose, that match right there, in my opinion, was a five-star match. Like I said before, I was never really sold on Dean Ambrose as a champion, never really sold on him as a worker, but nonetheless, he went out there and had a good performance with AJ Styles, and I think a lot of that had to do with AJ Styles. I mean, look at the matches that AJ Styles did with Roman Reigns a few months ago. AJ Styles can make a broomstick look good, you know what I'm saying? So, overall, I give Backlash probably, just for AJ Styles winning the championship, I'll give it a B.
Yeah, I'd probably go along with that as well. I mean, the undercard didn't do much for me. But seeing AJ win at the end, I was agreeing with what Frank was. You kind of wonder, you know, how are they going to screw AJ in this match? It's probably too early for AJ, but AJ went over, and of course he cheated a little bit, but of course that's what heels do. The main thing is that AJ won the championship, and for that I would definitely give them the higher grade. I'm glad to see AJ win the championship once again. As with Kevin Owens, you know, right now there's two world championships in WWE. The first thought is, would Kevin Owens have won the WWE Championship had they not split the championships in two? The question here is AJ Styles. Does it feel a little lackluster that AJ Styles did not win the WWE Championship when the titles were united? Or did it feel like he got his due, he went over, he won the top prize on SmackDown? Did it still feel like it was the accomplishment we've been waiting to see it for a long time?
Oh, definitely. It doesn't matter if they split the championships up or not. It don't matter. The belt with the most lineage is the WWE Championship, the one that AJ Styles currently has right now. So it doesn't matter. I just, you know, I'm happy for the guy. I don't, you know, all that stuff you're talking about, you know, it may hold some fact, but right now I don't really care. We're still in the moment of AJ Styles getting his just due and being the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That's all that matters at this point.
What do you think, Teddy? I know you didn't see the show, but Rhino and Heath Slater are the first SmackDown Tag Team Champions. Any thoughts on that duo winning the tag team titles?
Well, here's what I have to say about Heath Slater and Rhino winning the tag team titles. I think that's another good move. I mean, Rhino's a great guy. You know, he's fresh, just coming back to the company. And Heath Slater has been there for a long time, and he has a great attitude. And I mean, anything that he has ever been asked to do, he does it. So I think he deserves that, too, as a well-deserving move on the WWE for putting the belts on those two guys. I think that's a good move.
Were you a little surprised they didn't put the Usos over in this case?
Well, I mean, I don't know, you know, why they wouldn't, you know, because we right now we may not know what direction they're going to go with the Usos. So, you know, we just have to wait and see. But, you know, you just never know why they do stuff. Those questions are kind of hard to answer. So I hope that they got plans for the Usos. It's like Frank said, they came out. They were totally different, you know, came out for business like they did when they first came into the WWE. And that's what they need. That's what they need. The company needs that. So hopefully they got some good plans for them.
It's called booking on the fly, Teddy.
Well, that's what it feels like. I know about that, too.
Yeah. And then real quickly, your thoughts on Becky Lynch becoming the first, SmackDown Women's Champion?
Well, I don't know much about Becky Lynch. You know, I'm not a big follower of the NXT. I've never seen any of those shows, so I really didn't know her until she came up from NXT to the WWE. So I don't know really much about her, you know, but if that's, you know, what they want to do, then fine. You know, congratulate her on it, and I hope she be successful, and I hope she does a great job.
Yep, a long time coming for Becky Lynch. I remember her as Rebecca Quinn back on Independent Circuit. Up in she's from Canada, I believe, at that time. So congratulations to Becky Lynch. I was glad to see her go over. I thought maybe they might put it on Natalya just to start, and they gave Natalya a little bit of a rub, but Becky Lynch is the first SmackDown Women's Champion. Now, speaking of women, great segue, because last night's Raw, I start watching Hulu because I watched the condensed version of Raw the next day. There's a segment with Sasha Banks, Bayley, Charlotte, and Dana Brooke that started the show. Mick Foley came out and decided that they would do a triple threat match to start the show. With the winner facing Charlotte, there was just no enthusiasm for the show, or actually this match, to open up the show. And, of course, last night, Teddy, was the return to Monday Night Football. There actually was two games last night. There was an early game and then a late game. So both games went head-to-head with Monday Night Raw last night. But what a way to start Raw with just a very long segment with the women. The women weren't really clicking with the fans. Mick Foley was just kind of there to make the match. And I don't know, Teddy, that wasn't a great way to start Raw last night.
Well, it kind of started off all right. And then, like I say, you know, these things, they start off good, but then they drag them out too long. You know, quite a bit of talking right there, long promo segments. And, you know, you're dealing with, you know, some girls that don't have a whole lot of experience, you know, of course, getting out doing promos and stuff. So, you know, you can't really hold them responsible. But, you know, they did the best that they could. But I just thought it was just too long. It was just too much talking. And, you know, if you got NFL football, you know, you're going up against too, you know what I mean? So, to me, I would have had something a little hotter than that to maybe open up my show, you know, to try to keep the people with me. You know, you got the feud going there with Seth Rollins, which would have been a good opener. You know, your Kevin Owens is your big deal right now. So, you know, why wouldn't you come out with something like that, you know? So I don't know why they done that, but, yeah, that was just, to me, that was just bad.
What did you think of the segment overall, Frank, and just your overall thoughts on Raw last night?
I mean, the segment was bad, but the segment was just to get you to the match, which was a triple threat match between Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Dana Brooke. I thought the match was okay, and it's going to be Charlotte versus Sasha at Clash of Champions for the WWE Women's Championship. And that was followed up by the highlight reel segment with Chris Jericho and Sami Zayn. And they're going to have a match at Clash of Champions as well. And then we saw another match in the Best of Seven series between Cesaro and Sheamus, in which Sheamus actually lost this time to Cesaro. So Cesaro is now 2 to Sheamus' 3. Cesaro actually got a win last Wednesday at the WWE Live event in London. Nia Jax came out and just completely destroyed Alicia Fox and sent her to the barrier. So that was actually pretty cool to see Nia Jax get that type of heat. People were kind of really into her at that point. New Day came out for a segment. They said something. Big E came out there without his boots on. He had cereal in his boots, and they were serving it to the fans when they came to ringside. So I guess those lucky fans out there that got to eat cereal from Big E's boots. Crazy shit. Anderson and Gallows defeated Kofi and Xavier Woods when they hit Xavier with the magic killer for the 1-2-3. And I guess the New Day versus Anderson and Gallows for the WWE Tag Team titles at Clash of Champions. We also saw Jinder Mahal come out there. He came out and beat Jack Swagger So that was pretty interesting to see Jinder Mahal get a win.
Poor Jack Swagger.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Jinder Mahal returns and he beats Jack Swagger.
Yeah. And they also rumored that they also had in the back, you know, Tom Phillips actually interviewed Swagger when it was done and said, you know, your contract's expiring here on Monday Night Raw very shortly. So, and Swagger had nothing to say about that. So I think you might see Jack Swagger show up on SmackDown at some point.
Wait. His contract is expiring. Didn't they just do the brand split?
Yeah, they did, but his contract is up.
So I guess he had like a 60-day contract?
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah. I guess Mick Foley and Stephanie just has those very short-term contracts there. So.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, what is Swagger been doing? He's been relegated to a superstar as the main event. So, I mean, this is the first time I've seen Swagger on Raw since the split, and probably before that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So, and then we had a fantastic match for the main event between the WWE Universal Champion Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns. And this match was just outstanding. For people out there who say that Roman Reigns can't work, the guy can work. All right, and improved the last night in this match with Kevin Owens. And Seth Rollins actually got involved in the match last night. He actually came out there and attacked Kevin Owens, which caused the referee to disqualify Roman Reigns, give the win to Kevin Owens. Mick Foley comes down and says, nope, we're not going to do it that way. Restarts the match. And Rusev comes out, and he gets the distraction on Roman Reigns, sets up Roman Reigns. Kevin Owens sets up Roman Reigns with a pop-up powerbomb. 1, 2, 3. There you have it. Class of Champions for the WWE Universal Championship, the longest reigning Universal Champion of all time, Kevin Owens, will defend against the architect, Seth Rollins. And you're also going to probably have Rusev going up against Roman Reigns for the United States Championship. And that, my friend, was Monday Night Raw.
You feel me?
What kind of grade would you give it last night?
I give Raw probably, I mean, I'm going towards a B. I'll give it a B, because I thought for the show, they asked for really good wrestling matches on it, so I'll give it a B. I'm going to be nice. Only problem I had with the show last night was when Sami Zayn said something that really made me cringe. Sami Zayn says that one day he will be the Universal Champion, and I'm thinking to myself, I hope to God that never happens.
So you seriously brought me out here to talk about Kevin Owens. I've already said 1,000 times I'm done with him. All right, I could care less. Actually, let me rephrase that, because I do care about one thing, and he has it, and that's the WWE Universal Championship, which I promise I will one day possess myself.
Sami Zayn is a great performer, but he ain't WWE Champion material. Sorry, he's not. Just like Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose is not. I said it a few weeks ago. Dean Ambrose is nothing more than a mid-carder who happens to have been the WWE champion. I know there's a lot of people out there who are Dean Ambrose fans, but let me put it to you like this. I hear all the excuses that Dean Ambrose can't be crazy, he can't be psychotic because they're in a PG environment. Okay, well, if that's the case, then how come it worked years ago for Psycho Sid in the WWF? And that was a real cartoonish WWF at the time. That was way before the Monday Night War. So why did it work for Psycho Sid, but it doesn't work for Dean Ambrose today? I don't get that one. Psycho Sid, you believe he was crazy. Especially after the shit that happened between him and Arn Anderson, you believe the guy was crazy. When I see Dean Ambrose, there was nothing about Dean Ambrose that I say, you know something, this guy is crazy. What he reminds me of, a guy out there looking for speed, is what he reminds me of. Seriously. He just reminds me of some damn druggie. I can't get with it. So that's my take on Dean Ambrose. Same thing with Sami Zayn. Sami Zayn, great athlete, but you know something? All great athletes don't mean that you have to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion or the WWE Universal Champion. So, there you go.
You know, we did not do a show last week, and last week on Raw, Sasha Banks cut a promo. And it got some people talking because she talked about the bra and panties matches, and she was going back to the Attitude Era when they would push a lot of the scantily dressed women out there versus what they're doing today, which is certainly more on the athletic side of women's wrestling. Vince Russo took an exception to that because Vince Russo is the Attitude Era guy. I mean, he was there when they turned the corner and actually passed up WCW Nitro back in the day, but he wasn't too happy with the comments. Now, he is a Sasha Banks fan, but he was not happy with those comments.
There was a revolution. There was women. Women like Mae Young and Fabulous Moolah, like Alundra Blaze and Luna Vachon. Women like Trish and Lita, who broke the mold and laid the foundation. These women wrote the first pages of a revolution of change. A change that became reality July 13th, 2015, when Stephanie McMahon introduced the next generation of women in the WWE. No more bra and panties matches. No more stupid butterfly title. We did it.
You know, when I think about the bra and panties stuff, yeah, there was a lot of the, and I can always think of the Sable with the hands on the breast back in the day, and they definitely were pushing, you know, Terry out scantily dressed, and Jacqueline and all those girls they had back then. The Cat actually took her top off at one point, but I mean, they still had some good workers back in the day. Lita was there. Trish Stratus was there. So, I mean, Jacqueline could work. Obviously, she's a Hall of Famer now. So, any reaction to the comments that Sasha Banks made and the comments that followed up with Vince Russo?
Here's the deal. The promo that Sasha Banks cut was awful. I'm a Sasha Banks fan, but I can admit the girl is awful on the mic. And quite honestly, I'm really getting sick and tired of this women's revolution bullshit. I'm really sick and tired of it now. Every time there's a big match coming, they always gotta pull this card about, well, we're doing this now, and this is how it is now, and you know, I'm tired of hearing that. All right, just go out there and wrestle and shut up.
Give me a hell yeah.
We don't have to have a 20-minute speech anymore about women's rights on Monday Night Raw. Okay, fine. You got two divisions on in WWE. You got the Raw division and the SmackDown division. You guys are out there having kick-ass matches. Let's keep it at that. We don't have to hear this big story about how we got to this point. Okay, and if you want to really go further than that, let's talk about what she was talking about as far as the bra and panties matches and all the stuff they used to do. Hey, you know something? Vince Russo and Ferrara might have came up with that, but there was one guy in the back who's still there right now who has to approve that, and that was Vince McMahon. So I don't understand that right there at all. Because they were only doing these ladies, and she was referring to as maybe like Trish Stratus or whoever. They were doing what they were told. Okay, and that's pretty much what it is. They were doing what they were told. It was a different time then. All right? So that's pretty much what it is. So if I was Vince Russo, yeah, I would probably get offended by that too. Because, I mean, yeah, after all, if you're talking about that time frame, and you're talking about the time frame when he was writing the shows. And a little bit after that. Because once again, when Russo left the company, that was still WWE's deal. They were still having women out there with the bra and panties matches are, and, you know, in the mud and all that other dumb shit. They were still doing that after Russo was long gone. And who was still there? Vince McMahon. McMahon has to approve that. So it is what it is, man. I'm really sick and tired of it, though. This whole, every week we got to have a feminist speech on the show. I'm over it now.
Yeah, you talk about that, and then Raw starts this week, and the four girls are out there and they're putting me to sleep. So,
exactly. And like I said before, I'm a Sasha Banks fan, but damn, every week we got to have the same speech about how you were a kid and you wanted to do this, and we get it. I understand now. But that don't mean I got to hear this shit every damn week. Enough.
Would you please shut the hell up?
I don't know about you, Teddy, but, you know, last night was the return of Monday Night Football. I was thoroughly enjoying Steelers versus Redskins last night.
Well, I turned on Raw, like I said, and I, you know, at the beginning of the show, and I, you know, got, you know, tried to watch the beginning of it, but like I said, the talking was just a little bit too long for me, and it kind of just, you know, made me just turn away, you know. But then after I watched a little bit of football, and then I went back to watching several parts of the show, not all of it, but I did, you know, kind of keep up with what was going on. But other than that, you know, that's all I can really say about it. I'm kind of like what Frank said, you know, I would give it a B last night for what I did see. And I saw quite a bit. I didn't see it all, but I saw quite a bit. The main event, once again, with Kevin Owens and Roman Reigns, I thought was great. I mean, guys had a great match just, you know, at the end right there. I don't know where they're going to go with Roman and Rusev. I, I don't know what's happening there, but other than that, you know, I'd give it a B.
Is Seth Rollins turning babyface at this point?
Well, you know, from what I saw last night, it's like a tease. So you really can't go on a tease, you know, because that could happen. Then again, it may not happen, but I don't really know. But with my opinion on that, I would like to see Seth Rollins as a babyface. I think he'd do a good job.
I mean, yeah, it's obvious that's where you're going with him. I mean, he was taking shots last night at Triple H and taking shots at Stephanie. So I think that's where they're going. But I think right now he's kind of in the middle. He's, you know, kind of a tweener babyface because he was still taking his shots at Roman Reigns. But nonetheless, I think that's where they're going to go with it. And another thing we have to talk about real quick when it relates to Monday Night Raw is the performance of Mick Foley. Mick Foley is terrible out there as a GM of Raw. I'm not feeling it. There's just nothing there. There's no energy there at all. It's just Mick Foley he does not look comfortable in his current role to me. That's probably the reason why I can't get with it. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
I just think he's just kind of there. It doesn't seem like he's really into the product. Maybe, you know, part of it, you like maybe Teddy, was you're not, you know, you don't watch it on a week-to-week basis. You're not watching NXT. So he comes on the scene. A lot of these people he doesn't really know because he's not been paying attention to the product. He's got to learn all these names and get caught up with the product because he's probably not been watching Raw on a weekly basis anymore or watching it on a part-time basis or just channel surfing or DVR. But I just don't think he's got a lot of energy. And, you know, the thing I've thought about is Mick Foley there because he's got a network show? Is he there as the Raw general manager right now because his daughter is being pushed on the WWE Network series? Because, I mean, honestly, I just don't think he brings anything to the table, and it's just kind of a lackluster performance right now.
Well, here's my thought on Mick Foley. Mick Foley is being Mick Foley, okay? That's just him. You know what I mean? I don't know whether he's comfortable in the job or not. And I don't want to say anything about him because the first thing somebody's going to say about me is, well, you're just criticizing them because they didn't call you back or you're not the general manager. So all I'm going to say is this. Mick Foley is just being Mick Foley. You know, that's not his deal. That's not what he does. Everybody, we know what he does, and we know what we enjoy seeing him do. So like I said, they got him in there. All Mick can do is what he can do, and that's Mick Foley, and that's all I can say about that.
But, you know, it's funny how Teddy just said that about how Mick Foley is just being Mick Foley. Another one that I can bring up that played the role of being crazy. When you think about unstable, when you think about lunatic fringe, you think Mick Foley, Cactus
yep.
Jack, Mick Foley, Mankind. You know what I'm saying? When I see Dean Ambrose, I don't see that. Like I said before, I just see a guy coming out there hopped up on speed. That's all I see. You know? But I don't want to make it all about Dean Ambrose. Now, we're talking about Mick Foley right now, but
how do you really feel about Dean Ambrose? Don't hold back, Frank.
I don't see the appeal. I don't see the appeal of it. I honestly don't. But also, I don't see the appeal of the New Day, either. I don't get it. It's just not. It's not for me. I just put it to you like that. It's not for me. I just can't get with it.
There's a lot of things on there. It's not for me. But hey, you know, it's a new era. But I will say, I am glad to see AJ Styles with the championship. I'm glad to see Kevin Owens with the championship. Because I know what people will say is, you know, why do you watch the show? Why do you rip this? Why do you rip that? Is there anything you like? All you guys do is rip this, rip that. There's certainly things I do like. They have a number of women I do like. They are pushing the tag team divisions again, which I do like. So, I mean, there's aspects I do like. I mean, I really like Mauro on SmackDown. I don't like David Otunga. I think he drags that down. I mean, we were debating before the show as well, as Mauro just brings so much energy to SmackDown versus Michael Cole. But, you know, my buddy Frank D was just pointing out, hey, you know, he's there every single week. He's been watching Raw and watching these shows every single week for how many weeks now? And you've seen everything. There's not a lot of energy in the WWE product overall. You know, you're going to be lackluster out there. I mean, that's a valid point. But there are things I do like, but yeah, there's just, I can't say I ever really got into Dean Ambrose either. Frank was talking about before, Mick Foley. I mean, he starts the show or he's going to be out in the opening segments to kick off Raw. And I don't know, Teddy, you were there when Monday Night Football would roll around. I mean, Frank D and I have talked about this over the years, you know, when it was the Monday Night Wars, I don't think they really cared about Monday Night Football because they had something that people wanted to watch. It was the Monday night. It was Monday Night Raw, or it was WCW Nitro. But now here we are, September 12th last night, the first weekend of the NFL kicked off. They traditionally have a doubleheader to kick off Monday Night Football on Monday night. So there was a game at 7 Eastern. There was a game at 10:15 Eastern. So there was a doubleheader. Does WWE suddenly do things differently now that Monday Night Football is there, or is it just business as usual in WWE?
I think it's just business as usual. I don't think they're going to do anything different. I mean, Monday Night Football has always been there. So I don't think that they're going to change anything or do nothing different. It's just like you said, it's business as usual.
Yeah. Well, we've got a number of other topics to discuss as we were gone last week. I encourage everybody out there right now to go to Gerwick.net, check out the previous editions of the Gerwick Report podcast, and we'll be back shortly with more of the GRP.
Hey, what's up, players? Teddy Long. Hey, for all your pro wrestling news, all you've got to do is go to Gerwick.net. That's right. For all your pro wrestling news, go to Gerwick.net. And they have been number one since 1997. Now, that's a long time, players. That means it's a lot of credibility. Holla.
Marty Daniels here, letting you know the Gerwick Report podcast is available via Gerwick.net. Download today on iTunes. Also can be streamed on Stitcher and TuneIn Radio.
For exclusive interview content and late breaking news updates, keep it locked to YouTube.com/GerwickNet. Subscribe to our channel today.
All right, we're back here on the Gerwick Report podcast. It is episode 149. We talked about what happened over the weekend with the Backlash pay-per-view. 2 years in the making, CM Punk made his UFC debut at UFC 203 in Cleveland. He took on a 24-year-old with 2-0 record. You know, a lot of people were paying attention to this. Mick Foley, we were talking about Mick Foley in the last segment there before the break. Mick Foley cut a promo that was actually on the UFC website, UFC videos there, where he was basically encouraging CM Punk going into his fight on Saturday night. I don't know, Teddy, if you saw the fight. He only lasted 2 minutes, about 2 minutes and 14 seconds. He was mostly on the defensive there, really got beat down. I think they probably could have called that even quicker than they did, but he made his debut, 37 years old, entered the octagon, a lot of people giving him credit for, you know, entering the octagon. Thoughts on what happened there Saturday night and kind of CM Punk's future from here?
Well, Saturday night I was, working in Louisiana, but I did, somebody sent me the link on Facebook and I did get a chance to look at some of it. And also, you know, I've always been good friends with CM Punk. I did text him before the fight and wish him congratulations and hope he had a good win. And, you know, my thing with it is this, you know, Punk, I'm pretty sure he wanted to win, but I think, you know, you got to have a little bit more experience than he had. You know, you got to be really ready for this kind of sport. And my opinion, I just don't think Punk was ready, and I think he needs to get a lot more experience. And if I was him, I mean, I know he got his ass handed to him, but I wouldn't give it up. You know, I'd stay with it and you know, try to make a career out of it if that's what he wants to do. But this may be a first-time thing for him. I mean, who knows? But, you know, like I said, you know, I just congratulate him for getting in there.
Yeah, he, from what we understand, a $500,000 paycheck. So not a bad night for CM Punk. And, oh, Frank, you saw the fight. It didn't last for very long. People give him credit for entering the octagon, actually having an MMA debut. I don't know. The question might be, you know, you had 2 years to prepare for this, and you were not fighting the elite in UFC. You were basically fighting a rookie, a guy who only had two previous fights under his belt, and he took it right to him. So I don't know. What's your thoughts on what happened there Saturday night?
Well, it's just what you said. He had two fights to CM Punk's zero. Okay, so there you go right there. The guy already has the experience edge. And just to be honestly, CM Punk, he got effed up. All right, that's just pretty much what it was. It was actually quite funny to me when I was watching. So it is what it is. The guy went out there, and people can say, you know, they respect him, whatever, whoop-de-whoop. That's all fine, Danny. I see people all the time out in the streets fighting for nothing. All right, and they last longer than 2 minutes. So It is what it is. Punk got his ass handed to him, and that's pretty much what I thought was going to happen in the first place, and it is what it is. So now Punk can go in and try to do it amateur ranks, and maybe one day he'll be back in UFC. Because Dana White's already said that he believes that Punk's next fight should not be in the UFC. So I think people are just giving Punk credit because Punk went out there and, you know, he came from a fake sport, quote-unquote. He came over to the real deal, and that's what they're giving him credit for.
I would say Punk got punked. That's what it came down to.
Punk didn't get punked. Punk got his ass was zipped. All right, he got beat down. All right? I mean, did you see his ear when it was all said and done?
Yep.
His ear was like, damn. Like somebody just sitting up there and just chewing on it.
Well, I mean, Dana was asked the question about his future. Would he have his next fight in UFC? And I think diplomatically, Dana White said that he probably shouldn't have his next fight in the UFC. I mean, UFC is the top of the line in mixed martial arts. I don't know, Teddy, do you see CM Punk pursuing MMA, or, I don't know, does he consider going back into the wrestling ring?
Well, I just don't know. You know, that's kind of hard to say, man. You know, I used to make a prediction sometime with guys not coming back to professional wrestling, you know, but I found out not to do that because, you know, you never say never. You know, you think a guy won't show up and you look up one day and there he is. So, you know, I just don't know whether he'll ever go back to professional wrestling or not. I know he's got a bad taste in his mouth for it. He don't really care about it. Who knows whether he'll try to pursue his career. If this, you know, loss, you know, doesn't really get to him, if he doesn't let this affect him, then maybe he may try this again. Who knows?
What do you think, Frank? Do you think he continues with mixed martial arts, or do you think he goes back to pro wrestling?
I think Punk just tries it again. I don't really think if he does go back to pro wrestling, it won't be for WWE. I put it to you like that. I think that he's going to try this out, and he's going to try it again. And maybe one day he'll make it back to UFC. But it is what it is. You know what? Punk went out there and got his ass kicked, but at the end of the day, the man made, you know, $500,000. So who really won?
That's a good question. I don't know. Him continuing on mixed martial arts, I mean, you'd have to go to the lower rungs. You have to go against guys who are even lower down than this Mickey Gall. You know, he's going to have to – I don't know. I mean, he got his profile moment. He got the UFC on pay-per-view. You know, he got to have a UFC fight. I just don't see him continuing mixed martial arts. He's 37 years old. I mean, he's never going to make it to the top in mixed martial arts, UFC. I guess he's kind of closed the door on WWE. He did a lot of interviews before the fight talking that, you know, WWE and Vince McMahon is bankrolling the lawsuits there. And so it doesn't look like he's going to go back to WWE. So I don't know, Teddy, you know him. He's certainly saved his money over the years. He's been frugal with his money. He probably doesn't need money. He just got paid, you know, $500,000 for a 2-minute fight. So quite possibly, maybe we've seen the last of CM Punk. Maybe he's going to go on and do something else outside of sports entertainment or mixed martial arts.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think we've seen the last of him, you know, and I kind of agree with what Frank just said. You know, he'll never go back to WWE, but if he decides to get back into professional wrestling, he will go and do it someplace else, you know, just like Cody Rhodes, and I'm pretty sure that he'll make a name for himself there, whatever he's going to do. But like I said, I don't think we've seen the last of him.
You know, Frank, another thing that was making the rounds on the internet was we've known he's been friends with Colt Cabana for a long time. I remember that one promo where he waved and said hi to Colt on TV after Colt had long passed WWE. I guess there's some heat now or friction between the two because, what, Colt Cabana went backstage and probably was lobbying for a job. I mean, there was talk of bringing him back years ago. There was talk of possibly bringing him back as an announcer. So apparently the longtime friendship between Punk and Colt Cabana has been squashed.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's the rumor going around. But, you know, really, honestly, until it's been confirmed by either Colt Cabana or CM Punk, we don't know the real story with that. I mean, it could all be a bunch of crap. We don't know. But if that's the case, then, I mean, that's kind of a dick move by Punk. I mean, this guy has been there, you know, for you. You've been friends with him for many, many years. So, I don't know. I mean, apparently Punk's problem is that they have this lawsuit going on right now with the doctor from WWE, and he feels that it hurts their defense. So that could be what the situation is. So, I don't know, man. Until it's confirmed by either party, I wouldn't put much stock into it.
And since we did the last podcast, we talked a lot about Alberto Del Rio, the suspension, with him and his girlfriend Paige. We speculated on Paige's future as well. Would WWE keep her under contract? Would she continue on? How would that be? How would that unfold? We now know Alberto Del Rio and WWE have officially parted ways. Alberto Del Rio did a press conference and said that he was not happy in WWE. I think he was being about as diplomatic as he could. He's not been happy there for a long time. He confirmed that he was basically tested positive for a steroid that he, of course, would claim that he had a prescription for. A lot of speculation now is what happens with Paige. Paige apparently has a lawyer and is going to try to get out of her contract, essentially. And there's also a story bouncing around that WWE encouraged Paige to split up with Alberto Del Rio. And I've seen a lot of people defend WWE saying, well, this is common workplace. A lot of times this happens. If one employee is dating an employee and the company's not happy with that, they will try to discourage that, which I don't think that's the case. But this is what some people are saying out there. You know, Teddy, you can't mingle in people's personal relationships. If you have a policy up front that says we don't allow employees to date, that's one thing. But if WWE encouraged the two to split up, and certainly Paige is very young, probably very naive to relationships. You know, obviously Alberto Del Rio's been married, been around for much longer. They've pointed out the age differences between the two. But if WWE or somebody in WWE may have insinuated or suggested that Paige split up for Alberto Del Rio for her future, that could definitely hurt the company.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it could. You know, I mean, right now we're at a point that we don't know that for sure. But, I mean, that's what she's saying. And, you know, with me, you know, I'd rather not even speak about it until we find out exactly, you know, what's really going on. Did that really happen? So, you know, right now, I'm just going to leave it alone until we get some more facts and kind of know what we're talking about.
And, you know, Teddy, too, the last couple of people who have been suspended have come forward and said, I've got a doctor's prescription. I guess it's what, testosterone replacement was what Alberto Del Rio tested positive for. You know, it's not uncommon for somebody to get a prescription. There's a lot of doctors out there. You know the situation, Teddy. You can go to a doctor and you tell the doctor, I need a prescription for this, I need a prescription for that. There are doctors who will write prescriptions, even though the client or the patient they're seeing may not necessarily need the product or the script to be prescribed. But you're seeing that last couple of people suspended to say, well, I have got a doctor's note. That's not that uncommon, is it?
No, it's not that uncommon. You know, I like you said, there are a lot of doctors out there, you know, that some of the guys can go to and they'll write prescriptions for them. You know what I mean? So I don't know what the deal is with this drug policy. I mean, you know, I always thought if you brought a prescription from your doctor, I don't care how you got it or whatever, because you can't prove that some doctor just wrote you something just to write you something. How can you say that this person wasn't sick, or if he did have a prescription for some kind of testosterone, maybe he's reached an age in his life where his body doesn't produce testosterone. So there are clinics right now that men go to, you know, to take testosterone shots to, you know, to build up their testosterone level. So that may not have to be a lie. That could be true. So I just don't know what the deal is with that drug policy. I thought if you had a prescription on any other job, you brought just like a doctor's excuse, that should clear you. But evidently, they're not buying it.
So it looks like Frank Del Rio is done. He's going to go to Mexico. I saw a post already. I think for next month already, you have Del Rio against Rey Mysterio. Got this cloud, I guess, with Paige. How do you kind of see the situation and ultimately see it unfolding?
Well, here's the deal. You know, if WWE encouraged Paige to end her relationship with Del Rio, and they're saying basically if you don't do it, then you're going to be terminated. If Paige has evidence that this happened, then that's going to be a really big problem with WWE, okay? Because she can file a report with the EOEC, which is the Equal Opportunity Employment Commission. They can do an investigation on WWE because this is an employee that's doing this, and she's an independent contractor, so it can turn out very, very bad for WWE. But Alberto Del Rio, he's gone. Alberto Del Rio, you know, he didn't like his second run with the company. I mean, we can all agree that his second run was, you know, was pretty lackluster. It was bad. But you know what? The man made money. He got paid. He's going on. And he even said, you know, you never know. He might be back one day. I don't think that's ever going to happen, though, to be honest with you. I think that there is certain political forces behind the scenes at WWE that really don't like the guy, and it showed with his booking over the last year.
I could not possibly see, Teddy, that, and you were just talking about CM Punk and his future of going back to WWE. As soon as you say the door is closed, it seems to reopen, but I would say it's a long shot for Del Rio to ever return to WWE.
Yeah, I don't think he's a, now that's one prediction I think I can make and not have to worry about it. Yeah, I don't think he's ever coming back there.
So Del Rio is headed to Mexico. I'm just going to say it right now. He came back for a year or so. We know the situation with the social media ambassador. Did they bring him back purely because of that situation? Did they ever have any plans for him? Was he right to come back? I mean, should he have maybe just sat out and maybe pursued a lawsuit against WWE? I mean, now that it's all said and done, we see the way it played out. Just your overall reaction from Del Rio's perspective, WWE's perspective, on how it all played out.
Well, I look at it like this. I mean, you know, I think he came back, you know, it's a job. The man came back for a paycheck. So I can't say whether they had any plans for him or not because, you know, I don't definitely know that, but they brought him back for something. I don't know what that something was. Maybe he could have come back or maybe they try to settle that lawsuit. I don't know. I'm not saying that. But they brought him back for something. He came back to get he got a paycheck. He got a job. So other than that, that's all I know about it.
I totally agree with Teddy. It's all about money. Why would the guy sit out when he could be getting paid? You know what I'm saying? And also, why blackball yourself from WWE? I mean, at the end of the day, it is still the biggest wrestling company in the world. So why blackball yourself from that? So Alberto Del Rio did the best that he could do for his career, which was come back and make money. Even though he wasn't used to the best of his abilities, hey, you know something? The guy still got paid. At the end of the day, that's all it's about. It's about money.
That's right.
Do you think, Frank, they brought him back purely because of this lawsuit?
Absolutely. No doubt.
I can agree.
That was basically to shut him up. It was basically to shut him up and to end any type of a speculation of him possibly suing the company. That's what it was all done for. They didn't bring him back because he's such a great talent and all that other shit. Absolutely not. Because if they were going to bring him back and they really had wanted to give him a push, then he would have gotten Ricardo Rodriguez to come back, and they would have had him as a personal ring announcer. He would have had the cars and everything that made him special to begin with. He just came back to give him Zeb Culture, Next America, and then the League of Nations, and that was pretty much it. There was no WWE Championship run. There was nothing like that. So, and I thought basically that, you know, them splitting the rosters, okay, maybe they might give Del Rio a push. I mean, he was on SmackDown. Maybe they might have given him a push or given him a break. It didn't happen, and I remember the night of the draft, just how unhappy Alberto Del Rio was that he got moved to SmackDown and Paige got moved to Raw. I remember that. His reaction, he was pissed, and you can clearly see it in his face. And he wasn't there too much longer after that, so there was a lot of stuff going on here.
And here's the other thing, too, man. I got to say this, too, man. You know, even though you're dating a girl, you know what I mean? If you get transferred from one show to the other, it doesn't mean nothing to you. You shouldn't let that worry you because at the end of the day, when both the shows are over, at the end of the night, you're going to end up with her anyway. Don't make no difference what show she's on. So, goddamn, you ain't that much in love till you can't stand to see her go on one TV show and not on the other TV show with you. So, you know, that just kind of got out of hand, man. You know what I mean? Like I said, at the end of the day, you and her are going to be together. So I don't understand none of that.
Well, I'm going to tell you like this, Teddy. if this was a different time and they had did a brand split, and say Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Elizabeth, God rest their souls, they got split. Oh, you can imagine the bullshit there with Randy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, he might have walked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what were you saying, Frank? Paige has a new tattoo with Del Rio on it?
Yeah, apparently she got Alberto's name put on her, and it was a picture that she posted to her Instagram account, and she deleted it. But it said Alberto, and that's Alberto Del Rio. You know, his real name is Jose Alberto Rodriguez, so she got his middle name tattooed on her. So I guess Paige is really down for her dude. She's one of those down-ass chicks, so she's really down for Del Rio. I just hope that when everything happens here and whatever happens between the two, I just hope that Alberto is not for her like she's not for him right now.
And let me ask one more question before we move on from Alberto Del Rio. We saw Del Rio in WWE in his previous run, this run. I think I agree with Frank. I think it was purely brought back this time to avoid a potential lawsuit over what happened with the social media ambassador. We saw I think he had a great run the last time he was in WWE. Do you consider Alberto Del Rio a main event player? And do you think ultimately that they kind of missed the boat with Del Rio? Could they continue on making him a main event player? Overall, did they kind of miss the boat with Del Rio?
Well, I don't really know whether they missed the boat or not. I mean, Del Rio, you know, like you said, he's been there before. You know, they gave him a, you know, big opportunity there. So I think they may have missed the boat by, you know, not giving their Spanish audience, you know, Alberto Del Rio, because, you know, they got a great, you know, real big Spanish following, and not giving the Spanish people nothing. I mean, I don't know who did they really have on there now. What, Kalisto, you know, I mean, he's all right, but I don't think he's going to really draw, you know, his, you know, no Spanish people. So they may have missed it right there, because I did hear that the tour that they did in Mexico, they didn't even have Alberto Del Rio booked on it, so... What does that tell you? So, I clearly have to agree with, you know, with both of you guys. I think they just brought him back to settle the lawsuit.
Yeah, did you ever really consider Frank Del Rio a main event player?
You know something? I considered him a main event player because the guy was a main event player. He was a former world champion, former WWE champion. So, I think that he was. You know something, honestly, Steve? They were looking for a guy to replace Eddie Guerrero. And they found that with Alberto Del Rio, especially when he first came in. The vignettes that they shot for him on SmackDown, he comes in, he gets that big push, he's feuding with Rey Mysterio, he goes on to win the Royal Rumble. So I think they had big plans for Del Rio, but somewhere along the line, they lost their way with him. And I don't know where it happened. And I think a lot of it was before the situation happened with the social media ambassador. I mean, they just really lost faith in Alberto Del Rio, and that's pretty much what it was. But he was a main eventer, definitely. I just think that this second run, they had no plans for him. There was no hope. Because like I said before, if they were going to push him, how come you didn't bring back the things and the tools that made him stand out from everybody else, the things that made him special? He came back. He came in the first time and he was the Mexican aristocrat. You know, he had his own personal ring announcer. He was this rich guy from Mexico, and all of a sudden now he comes back. Well, he's just T-shirt wearing Alberto Del Rio. Not the same.
I want to mention here as well, we've talked a lot about Ryback and his future. I don't know if you saw this, Teddy, but apparently Ryback has legally changed his name to Ryback. So I don't know if that means – I guess what that would probably mean moving forward is that wherever he would show up, whether it be in another wrestling company or if he goes on to do TV shows, media appearances, et cetera, that he can still be referred to as Ryback. But I don't know. What's your thoughts on Ryback legally changing his name to Ryback?
Well, my thing is this. I don't know whether WWE came up with the Ryback name or whether he came up with the Ryback name. You know, that's my question. But, I mean, you know, he's made a lot of money, you know, with Ryback, you know, and so I guess if that's his plan to go to some other organization or to some other wrestling company, he wants to be known as Ryback. And the other thing, too, you know, they still got a lot of, you know, merchandise, I imagine, that they're selling on him, probably dolls, action figures and stuff that they're collecting money off of saying Ryback. So I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen with this. I don't even know whether he can do that if WWE already owns that name. I don't see how that can happen, that he can legally change it.
I guess, Frank, he didn't want to be Skip Sheffield in TNA.
Look, this guy went full-blown Ultimate Warrior with this one. Seriously. Warrior did the same deal. He changed his name, and they talked about that in the DVD that WWE never did, The Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. They actually talk about how Warrior changed his name legally to Warrior so Vince couldn't hold him for the intellectual property, or he thought that that's what it was. So expect to hear about a lawsuit about this, because just because you change your name legally to something doesn't mean that you're going to have any merit to use it, you know, in other entertainment fields or other entertainment companies, such as the TNA or wherever you want to go. So when I talk about Unstable, talk about Lunatic Fringe, yeah, Ryback.
I also want to mention here a guy that I interviewed a few years back, a really good guy. Scotty Too Hotty has been hired for the Performance Center. He's going to be a trainer there. I guess he's also working as a firefighter as well. So he's going to be a busy guy. Teddy, obviously you worked with Scotty Too Hotty over the years. I think he'll make a good coach with the Performance Center.
Yeah, I do too. I agree with you too. Yeah, he certainly knows his way around in the ring, and you know, what a great opportunity for him. And he was a real nice guy, great guy to work with. So, you know, my congrats to him.
He was a good talent. Definitely, I agree with that. You remember he was tag teaming back in the day with Brian Christopher. Before he was Scotty Too Hotty. You remember he was Scott Too Hot Taylor?
Yep.
So they were too much. So, I mean, you know, the guy's a veteran, and he can actually...
Too much, too cool.
Too cool, yeah. Exactly. So, he you know, he's only known for the worm, but he had to go through some things to even get to that point. So, I think he'll be a very, very good asset to the Performance Center moving forward. I mean, they got him down there. They got Shawn Michaels down there, too. So, it's a pretty good deal for Skytrider, definitely.
See, we've got poll results from Gerwick.net voting. Should Magnificent Don Morocco be inducted into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame, 81% say yes. So Magnificent Don Morocco is the latest inductee into the Gerwick.net Hall of Fame. I don't think anybody would complain about that one, Teddy.
No, I don't, man. I had a chance to meet him over the years, too. You know, what a great guy. So congratulations to him.
What do you think of Don Morocco overall? I know you probably was towards the end when you started watching wrestling, Frank, but... Always a strong intercontinental champion, had a great run with Mr. Fuji, who just recently passed away. But thoughts on Morocco going in the Hall of Fame?
I think Morocco is very deserving. I always liked Morocco's physique. He always had a very good physique, and he was all about he was on in the era where he came from was all about the body. So I think he's very deserving of that. Absolutely.
We also asked Kevin Owens winning the Universal title, thumbs up or thumbs down? I know some people. I put this poll up because I thought there'd be a little bit more on the negative side, because certainly he does have his detractors. Certainly know about Vince Russo and Jim Cornette, and certainly there's part of the internet wrestling community that are not fans of Kevin Owens, don't see him as a world champion material. But thumbs up 90% to just 10%. So I think maybe, Teddy, maybe just winning some fans over out there.
Well, yeah, I think he's doing a great job. I really think he's doing a real outstanding job, man. I don't know what it is, what the heat is with Cornette and Russo with him. I really don't know the guy that well. So, but like I said, I think he's doing okay.
Are you surprised, Frank? Overall, 90% overwhelming amount gave a thumbs up to Kevin Owens.
Not surprised at all, Steve. It all goes back to real recognizing real. Real wrestling fans recognize the talents of Kevin Owens and say that this guy right here should be WWE Universal Champion. I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, Triple H, made the decision along with Vince to put the belt on the guy and take a chance, just like with AJ Styles. They're taking a chance because they realize what they have in these guys. Now, once again, Sami Zayn, good athlete. Is he WWE Champion material? I don't think so.
Well, I tell you what, I think is these people that criticize Kevin Owens just because of his physique, go back and watch this guy. I know, wrestling is a lot depends on what you look like cosmetically, but this guy can work. This guy can talk. What does it matter what he looks like in the ring? Because at the end of the day, the guy can work his ass off in the ring. So I'm glad to see WWE recognize that, and they finally gave him an opportunity to be the champion. Now my only question is, Frank, where is Samoa Joe?
Samoa Joe is still down at NXT, and as soon as he gets done with his run with Nakamura, I guarantee you Joe's coming to the main roster. But I'm going to tell you something right now, because I'm looking here as we're doing the show, and John Cena sent out a tweet, and this is going to piss a lot of people off, but it's going to happen eventually. So Cena tweeted this out. He says, to be the man, you have to beat the man, or at least tie the man. Hashtag SmackDown Live. I already making plans here for AJ versus Cena for the WWE World Championship, and already people are speculating that this could mean that Cena will get number 16. So they're already making plans already. I'm not saying that Cena's going to do it, but I'm just going to say let's enjoy AJ Styles' title run while we can, because the next pay-per-view is SmackDown Presents No Mercy, October 9th from Sacramento, California. So, hey, it might happen.
I don't know, Teddy, does anybody want to see Cena win another championship?
Give me a break.
Well, I...
Please, come on.
I just don't know, man. I really don't. This may draw some interest, Because, maybe there are some people that want to see Will Cena break Ric Flair's record, and then there are going to be a lot of people that will not want him to break the record, but want to see AJ Styles, come out the winner. So this may draw some interest. You never know.
Well, Cena has a long way to go because WWE wants you to think that Ric Flair only won the championship 16 times. But Ric Flair, was he a 23-time champ or some shit
like that?
Yeah,
yeah, something like that.
So
yeah.
Cena has a long way to go. I get where they're going, and I get what they're doing, but Cena has a long way to go.
Long way.
Yep.
I don't think Cena equals Ric Flair. I'm sorry. I don't.
Well, shit, man. I don't know. Some people out there, they'll jump all over you for that one.
I don't know, Teddy. Is Cena this era's Ric Flair?
I don't know. I don't know whether to say that John Cena would be the Ric Flair today or not. You know what I mean? Ric Flair's a great athlete. You know, he's done a lot for this business, you know, and been a champion for many, many years. So, like, I agree with Frank. Cena has a long way to go. That's all I can say.
Well, I guess if we're saying what Ambrose is this era's Stone Cold Steve Austin, I guess Cena is this era's Ric Flair then.
That is blasphemous right there.
I didn't say that. That's what the people are saying.
Who the hell was... What?
What? What? What? Get out of here!
What?
That's my thought, too.
I'm shocked on that one, seriously. How anybody can think that Dean Ambrose is today's Stone Cold Steve Austin. Are you kidding me?
What?
I don't think you can compare Cena and Ric Flair either, myself. But
no, you can't. If I put where Cena is today, Cena is today's version of Hulk Hogan. You know, he's that guy that he's smiling in your face but doing shit behind your back.
Oh, very interesting. Very interesting tweet, huh?
Well, he's teasing it. He already knows that people are going to assume that he's going to be the one to dethrone Styles. So he's putting it out there. No different than when people thought that he was going to not do the job for Styles at SummerSlam. Hey. Got people talking, right? We're talking about it right now.
What?
Right. All right, we got one question here this week for Teddy Long. It's from Micah C. Didn't put a location, but wants to know from Teddy, what was it like taking the stink face?
Well, I tell you, the way to take the stink face is hold your breath, and that's exactly what I did.
So if you're ever in that situation, just hold your breath.
Yeah. Try not to sniff. Don't sniff.
You probably had to hold it for a long time there, right?
Well,
take a while to back up.
Well, it wasn't too long, but I mean, it's better than, you know, taking a sniff out of somebody's butthole, you know, just hold your breath.
You know, it's funny, Teddy, I saw this question and, you know, we could throw things out that you'd probably have to think back to, but I bet the stink face comes to mind very quickly after you took that to maneuver.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's part of the job, man. You know, I've seen Vince take it. Stephanie took it. So how are you going to tell the man that you're not going to take it? So it comes with the territory.
Well, if I got to work with Crystal Marshall, I'd probably take the stink face. So
no doubt. Trade-off.
All right, as we wrap here with Teddy, what you got coming up on the schedule here? Teddy Play Along is the Twitter, and, of course, teddylong.com is the website. What dates you got coming up there?
Well, this month I'm just going to kind of be taking it easy here at the house. I got some things we're working on the website, trying to make it better, and plus we're doing some stuff on the book so we can try to get ready to try to get the book out on next year. So this this weekend, this Saturday, I'm going to be at the Hayfield Recreation Center in Hayfield, Georgia, just for a big meet and greet there. And that's about it for this month. So I'm going to just be chilling around the house and working on the website and trying to get the book going.
And doing the GRP.
And doing the GRP. Don't let me forget about that, player. Holla.
And any last words there, Frank?
No, other than rest in peace to one of the greatest all-time entertainers of all time, the one and only Tupac Shakur. Pretty much that's it.